Welcome to the ONS Podcast with your host, Linnea Jacobson.
Good morning, community. It's the ONS Podcast brought to you by our partners at Face-to-Face Academy. For those who are tuning in for the first time, ONS stands for Office of Neighborhood Safety. I'm your host, Linnea Jacobson, and I'm part of the ONS team. This podcast was created for departments like ours and community organizations to connect you to alternative public safety measures, programs, and your local growth and healing opportunities. Today we have Dr. Darlene Fry. Hi.
Hello.
AKA Dr. D from the Irreducible Grace Foundation's Black Youth Healing Arts Center. IGF is a nonprofit organization that is focused on creating safe spaces for people of color, particularly youth. Their programs teach stress management techniques and how to deal with trauma. So first, I'm going to start with icebreaker questions, and then we'll just get into a little bit more about you.
Okay.
You have to choose one, okay? Coffee and coffee cake or tea and crumpets?
Oh, I'm a coffee and coffee cake kind of person, though. I'm not a crumpets. I don't really know what crumpets are.
I just found out what a crumpet was. I'm so silly. I just found out what a crumpet was the other day because my cousin just had a grandbaby. And when I saw her, she just was like so poised. I was like, oh my gosh, she's like tea and crumpets. Like, you know, would you like tea and crumpets? And I was like, what is a crumpet? And then I looked it up and it's like, it's basically like a scone, little biscuit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she's so cute and poised. She looks like she should be drinking her bottle with her pinky up.
Oh,
okay. So what goes in your coffee?
I am a cream only, a flavored cream.
Okay.
Kind of coffee person because I'm, you know, trying to stay away from the sugars.
Okay. And grounds or those little pod things? Those little carrot pods?
No, I don't like the little pod things.
Me neither.
It's like a lot of waste.
Right. You know?
A lot of extra plastic.
Right. Well, and then it's like they give you this much coffee and then you have all this water. It's like, really? That's not enough. Like, I need my coffee stronger than that. Mm-hmm. It's like drinking black water is what it really is like. Okay. So, colorful socks or just give me black, white, or gray socks?
Colorful.
You seem like a colorful person. I wrote this question for you purposefully because you just seem like a colorful person to me. You do. Okay. Waffles, French toast, or pancakes?
Very much French toast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maple syrup or blueberry?
Oh, maple syrup.
Okay. Dr. D, can you please take 1 minute and give us some info on your background?
My background is varied and winding, I guess. I grew up in Chicago, a kid of the 80s, 90s, and went to college in a very small town. It was the only college I could get into because Dr. D was not very academically focused in those days.
Okay.
And had a lot of great experiences, decided to go on to grad school, picked an even smaller town in the middle of Wisconsin, and that brought me up to this area. And after that, I was in college residence life around the country in California, Missouri, some other places before coming back to the Twin Cities to settle down and get my doctorate at the University of St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. So since then, I've worked at colleges and universities again on the faculty side, teaching in schools of education, and also moved to St. Paul Public Schools and worked there as the coordinator for the AVID program, and then moved into the director of college and career readiness and left there to start my nonprofit, Irreducible Grace Foundation.
So I was reading your bio on the website and I was like, oh my gosh. So I want you to describe a little bit more about why you started the Irreducible Grace Foundation, because it starts from children. And I just want you to really go into that.
Yeah. So I, as part of my job responsibilities, had to pull this on time for graduation report for the school district and found that there was like 300 students who weren't going to be graduating in their class on time and worked with my staff, mostly counselors at that time, to figure out what was going on, what was happening. And 90% of those 300 kids had been in out-of-home placement and the bulk of them had been in foster care. At the time this report was developed and pulled together, I had recently adopted my own daughter from Ramsey County, and I just felt like she would probably be one of those kids if something different didn't happen. I felt like God was tugging on me to do that something different. And in Sunday school class, the question was, what are you not doing that God is calling you to do?
Amen.
I just began to kind of cry. I'm one who usually holds in tears fiercely. So I didn't know that I was crying. The room just got blurry. And afterwards, my pastor said, I think we need to talk about something. And I said, I do. And it was that I felt like God was calling me to create a new entity, a new organization that could help young people who had been in foster care to graduate from high school. I knew a few folks, but not a lot. So myself and another colleague pulled some young people together who had already revealed they had been in foster care and said, if you could create something new and different that would help you, what would that organization do? And they said it would help us to have folks listen to our experiences. Mm-hmm. And so that was our very first session. And one of our staff members at the time, Jan Mandel, helped them create a play called Fostering Voice. Mm-hmm. And that began our organization. And it really was to help them to be seen and heard and their lived experience to matter. Our goal was to have them be able to trust adults again, to have an adult present walk with them through their life. So, and then we were trying to think of a name of this new organization. Mm-hmm. And because I had just adopted my daughter and she was 2.5, mm-hmm. But she was the size of a 1-year-old because of her neglect. Mm. And, but she just had this light and aura about her. You know, when adults came in the room, she'd want to be noticed and held and hugged. And we just thought that that was amazing for a child who had been emotionally and physically neglected for so long in her early life. Yeah. And we wanted to encompass kind of that same thing. We wanted other children who had been in foster care to give us that kind of openness and to be open to letting adults back in their life. And so we were trying to encapsulate what was in her spirit. And so we came on this word irreducible, not something you can add to or take from. Mm-hmm. And her name, the second part of her name, which I gave her, was Grace. And so that's where Irreducible Grace came from. Oh, gosh,
that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that this is where that was going to go.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I love it. How old is Grace now?
Monday, she'll be 21.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That is beautiful.
Yes. And if you ever meet her and she introduces herself at an event of mm-hmm. ours, she'll go, I'm the person the foundation is named after.
Oh, mm-hmm. That proud moment.
Yes.
Tell us about the Black Youth Healing Arts Center.
Well, the Black Youth Healing Arts Center is a new space in Frogtown. We're relatively new, 2 years old. And it came out of listening to young people again. They said they wanted a space where they could heal and be safe. And some of our young people were coming off the traumas of, you know, dealing with the death of Philando Castile, which some of our young people had been classmates with at Central. We had the George Floyd, Dante Wright, all those incidences where they felt like, where is their safe space? Where is a space that they could just mm-hmm. go and be and talk about what they need and what they feel? And they just didn't feel like they had that. And so we had already been an organization for about 10 years. We were programming out of Camphor Memorial United Methodist Church. And the young people just said, we need a bigger space with more things happening so that, you know, you can find your space to heal or to be well or just to be calm or just to be quiet or to be really loud. And so we began to look around and we found this building in Frogtown at 643 Virginia Street. And it was the old St. Paul City Schools. But before that, it had been the Red Schoolhouse.
Okay.
Which was in the 70s, a school that was by and for and bought for Native American families so they could teach their kids language and culture. Mm-hmm. And they were there for 20 years. And so I think part of when we drove up to the building and saw it, that it pulled us in. Mm-hmm. And we feel like the spirit of those who were in the Red Schoolhouse is mm-hmm. still there. Okay. And so we wanted to build on that legacy. But it's a space for young people to come learn different ways to utilize art or to get out their creativity and then also learn healing modalities.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. What are some of the programs you offer at IGF's Black Youth Healing Arts Center?
Yeah, so we have a weekly schedule. It's pretty diverse. We have Afro drumming, mm-hmm. Which is led by one of our young people. And it's Afro bomba, which is derived from Puerto Rican drumming, although they do drumming from every multiple diasporic areas. We have sewing. We have Afro dance. We have a garden out front, which is a community garden that kicks off in the end of this month. And we also have poetry with Dinesh Smith, who is an internationally known poet. He has a book on the New York Times, and he was just chosen as the Minnesota Author of Poetry for this year. So we have other programming such as chess. We have rhymes and rhythms, cooking up rhymes and rhythms. So you can cook one week and you can make poetry the next week, or a spoken word or a song about what you cooked. We have affirmation arts, ceramics.
I almost came there on Sunday. You guys had massages, free massages. Yeah. I got this pinched nerve girl in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Of my neck.
Yes.
I was looking at your flyer. I was like, should I go over there on Sunday?
You could have.
I probably should have took the time. I was in the bed, though.
Yeah. So some Sundays we do self-care Sundays, so two times a month. So those are topics that young people have asked for certain things to be offered. So, yes, this past Sunday was really busy with massage, ceramics. We had painting with the local artists as well. So, yes, we have a variety.
So that's a good segue into the next question, because I'm getting ready to ask you, why is self-care and healing an important part of rehabilitation when it comes to community violence?
Yeah, it's very important because we have to learn to deal with the physical aspects of those emotions. Mm-hmm. The physical aspects of trauma, if we don't move it out of our body, it stays. We attach certain memories to it, and then we hold on to it, and it becomes a muscle memory. And when it becomes a muscle memory, it's just reactive. So anytime something flares up that muscle memory again, you will get a reaction that's probably going to be negative. And so the healing work is very important to mitigate those feelings. And so you don't attach memories to them, unless, of course, they're joyous memories. Mm-hmm. But that usually doesn't happen in trauma.
Right.
So the importance of it is so we also stop that in its tracks, because we also tend to pass on those muscle memories to those around us. It can also become a legacy of sort. If you hold trauma in your body when you have children, science has demonstrated that there's epigenetics, so that you literally pass that on to your child. And they react, and they don't know why they're reacting.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of times, sometimes we see that a lot in schools with children very young, that they react to things that have been passed down to them, and it's an adult of peace. It's not their own.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any testimonies that you can share in how your organization has helped victims of trauma?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and again, it takes some time, but one of our young people who has had a lot of trauma in their life because their parent, well, both of their parents, I guess, met in rehab, and over time had different relapses and that type of thing. And the way that they co-parented and the way that they raised her sometimes was not what she needed. And I think over time and her working with us, she learned to have the words and the skills to have conversations with them. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of self-work for her own development and self-care to know and understand that what she was experiencing sometimes wasn't her own. It was probably her parents, and it could have been something as they received as, from their parents. Mm-hmm. And so that to do that generational work as well. And over time, I've seen herself as a mother do things very differently and very intentionally because of the work that she's done with us over the years.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. What are your goals for healing the city of St. Paul?
Ooh, that's a lofty one.
Put it out there.
I think we look at our work as a ripple, and we want to be that boulder that goes in the pond that makes a big ripple about knowing that self-care, self-understanding, and self-love is the basis of healing trauma, and that we all deserve that. And it's really hard to get to that point when things around you say differently. And so we hope that we are models and can be models of what healthy, loving, caring relationships can be in community. One of the things about having our building that I love so much is that we've had a lot of elders come into our process now. And, you know, you think about coming out of COVID and how elders were specifically really isolated because of their vulnerability and susceptibility. Mm-hmm. And to have them in our space and to have that intergenerational connection and community has just been a blessing that we didn't foresee. And I think that that is something else I would want to wish for the city of St. Paul, that we can have those relationships that go from birth to, you know, end the life cycle, and that people are included and seen and heard and understood.
Thank you, Dr. D. And thank you for sharing your story in the very beginning. It, like I said, I got to read a little clips of that, but just you going into depth, that was just, that's beautiful. That whole story is beautiful.
Thank you.
The city of St. Paul is working to rehabilitate, intervene, and provide safer neighborhoods. If you'd like to learn more about Irreducible Grace Foundation and its programs like the Black Youth Healing Arts Center, you can find them at irgrace.org. If you'd like to learn more about Community First Public Safety and the Office of Neighborhood Safety, please visit us at stpaul.gov/ONS.